This is a production of Cornell University.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, January 18th, meeting of the Employee Assembly. Are there any late additions to the agenda? No? Okay. First thing, approval of the minutes from the last meeting. Wait. No, we don't have enough people. All right, we've got to put that off because we don't have enough people to vote on them. So moving right into the business of the day, Leslie, you want to talk about the survey?
Sure. I sent around the revised survey that you was sent to me, so I'm just curious if people have reactions to that. I do have some copies. Did you guys get it?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have enough to go around, but people want to share. So anyway, I thought it looked pretty good for what
we're doing. Copy this?
Question four, she talks about employee engagement, but it's not to the EA. So I think that we should change that question, because one of the objectives for the survey was to measure effectiveness of our communication channels, and there's really nothing about that in there beyond the EAE news. Mm-hmm. So I think instead, or in addition to that question, we should talk about how people hear about the EA, or how they would like to hear about the EA, like what their preferred communication method is. And then also in question seven, she talks about what we can read about in the quarterly EAE news. And I just added in some other things like staff accomplishment, changes in staff benefits, new pertinent to staff, that type of thing. So I don't know, how do people have comments on the survey?
I thought it was really good. I do like question number four, but I agree that we need something more in there. But I kind of, it's interesting, I think, to assess how many people just come here, do their job, and go home and interact
With us. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe we'll just add in that communication.
Mm-hmm. I mean, unless other people feel differently.
But they're taking other people's kids to family day, try to call or whatever. You know, employee day. Would that be Cornell Academy? Would you consider that a Cornell Academy? I mean, it's too broad.
Yeah. I think I could see a lot of people thinking that, considering that a Cornell activity, but I was thinking more of people who were, you know, going and helping out at events. You know, people who come to...
they volunteer activities?
Yeah. They volunteer to work employee day kind of thing, as opposed to just coming.
Right. Like, it just needs to be developed specifically.
The only other thing I have about the survey is we talked about sending out, having SRS send out paper surveys, which in and itself is not very expensive, but that's the data entry, the cost to enter one completed paper survey is $3. and we don't know how many we're going to get.
But how many would we mail out? Did we figure that out?
We figured about 350.
So if all 350 came back, $900.
Well,
ish.
This is probably not happening. So the cost for everything except in the entry is like $1,500. So it might be another $500
for the data entry. So $1,500 would include the printing and mailing of them?
Let's see here. What's that, Wayne?
What do people think?
I think we're here to represent people who don't have a voice and don't have ready access to facility and technology, and that a lot of these people feel disenfranchised in life enough, and we have to stick up for them and do what's needed.
I mean, we have money, right? I'm sure we're survey we want to talk about the budget. Probably 3 cents of the money.
Yeah, I can't.
And the exact committee.
Yeah. I don't remember what. I have to go back and look. And unfortunately, Gemma couldn't be here today. We were going to talk about budget, but she ended up in another meeting.
But regardless, I think there's budget there.
So, just informally, if we have the budget to do so, we should do paper in addition to online. Yes? Okay. Any other comments about this survey?
I have a good question about it. I've been on the EA for a while. She has just worked so hard and been so organized and precise that I think it's almost easy to take for granted. So, thank you for your efforts.
Hey, Leslie, I just have one more comment on the survey. Question number 11,
uh-huh.
For reasons for not becoming involved, it has there, you know, my supervisor does not allow for time off.
Mm-hmm.
Can we also add another thing in there that says I'm not comfortable asking for time away from the office? Because I think there's a distinction there that some people may not even ask the question.
Yeah.
And I think that would be really helpful to know.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else from the survey? Okay. So moving along to EA elections. At the retreat, for those of you who were at the retreat, we had talked about doing a mailed ballot. And Ari and Peggy came and met with us and don't feel that is a feasible option. And I don't know if Ari, if you want to kind of talk a little bit about that, or you want me to just...
We talked about how the university has moved towards increasingly paper-free. There are a number of essential things that have to do that they can only do now using NetIDs. There was a big push when they started switching HR services over to electronic only to try to get everybody in the system. And there have been a few people who have held out, talking about somewhere around, I think, 200 to 300 people. And we feel that we could do a new outreach effort to try to get those people into the online system, and that would be a more effective use, because if we get them a paper ballot and they vote in this election, that still won't help them get access to any of the other essential things that they need to access online. I think we also talked about that there are a number of 24-hour computer labs that people can utilize if they don't have access to a computer at their workplace. Plus, the system is accessible from home, which is not really true for paper ballots.
So some of the things we also talked about was maybe doing, rather than sending a paper ballot, doing some sort of postcard or something that would go to employees who don't have their NetID activated, encouraging them to activate it and giving them more information about how to do that. I guess my question is, since we informally discussed it at the last EA meeting, how do people feel if we don't do a paper ballot?
Do you think it's our responsibility to tell people how to activate their NIDs? give them that information? I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I don't necessarily think it's our responsibility, but I think if you hand someone something that says, you should go do this and here's how to do it, they're more likely maybe to do it than if you say, well, here's what you need to do. Okay, well, how? Where do I go? What do I do?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And particularly if they're not sitting at a desk and able to pick up a phone and call CIT or even know to call CIT to ask how to do that.
Well, there are lots of people with kind of ideas that don't use
them. So they might have that idea, but they don't ever use them. Right. You know, that's above and beyond. There are 200 people that don't have one at all. I want to make it easy to kind of people to vote. And the thing about, you know, it's very easy for us to sit here and say, oh, they could do this, they could do that. Reminds me, like, we have the city school district. It's rural, at least around our rural property. South Carolina. You know, there's kids who are out there, they're sitting in the internet at their house. And people say, well, then go just go to the library and do the research. So we don't want easy for you to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, for making it easy and simple, and with a little money and a little extra work, then you still do that. Democracy is a little messy sometimes.
And I would say also, how many of us sitting here, if we weren't working at a computer every day and didn't have internet at home, would you, after work on your own time, walk to a computer lab to vote for the EA?
No.
So that's my only concern, that a population of employees that we really want to hear from, we're not, you know, not necessarily reaching out to in a way that's friendly to them.
The ones that are easiest to target with paper are the building care folks, because you can work directly with Rob Osborne and he's great. The ones that are harder to target are the ones with the diamond services. Mm-hmm. They're spread across the area.
Right, and do they have mailboxes?
Well, and that's what Peggy was saying, that they have, you know, just essentially, from when she's there, there's just a mail dump and you have to sift through to see if there's anything for you. Now, I don't know if that's changed or not, but...
I'm still there.
So they would have to actually sift through and find it, so chances are they may never even look in there because they don't expect campus mail.
And also, as there is less and less mailing being done, I think it's very likely that staff are just not in the habit of doing that.
I think another thing we had talked about was whether it would be worthwhile to approach Mary Offerman about whether there should be policies about how people's mailings are activated, because one of the things that came up in that discussion was that really the supervisors, it should be the supervisor's responsibility to make sure that the staff they supervise are in the system and able to fill out required documents and receive required documents electronically, and to help them if they can't figure out how to activate that ID or they're not comfortable with the process. And right now there's no policy requiring supervisors to do that, and there's no policy requiring people to activate their NetIDs, even though there are things that they have to do that they can only do with an active NetID. Like that email last week from Alan Bishop for the required wage notice, like through who it pays status.
Another thing that I had thought about is if we were not to do paper ballots, that maybe we ask Mary or President Scorton to put something out asking supervisors of staff who do not have access to computers to grant them release time from work to go and vote. So that they would be able to do it on work time the same as anyone who sits in front of the computer would do.
It would be nice if they had the information as to where they could go, like where the 24-hour free nights are.
Yeah, if they have time off, but they don't know where to go and how to even
Right.
We would have to provide all of that information.
I think maybe like partnering our information with HR is a good idea. Because there's a lot of like our examiners and a community business actually that I mean not just going into the EA.
Right.
And if it came from kind of both of us, like, you know, have more weight, maybe supervisors would be more likely to let them go or let them go or provide them with access to computers to register.
Well, and I think it also raises the question of, you know, should each of those areas that, you know, like for building care, you know, they go through a time clock and punch out, should there be a computer there that is dedicated for those employees to have access to so that they can get online and view their pay stubs and check their and do all of those things? Because they may not have access at home and may not want to go to a computer lab. They may, you know, for lack of a better, they may feel intimidated by going in there with a bunch of students.
They may not feel comfortable using a computer.
Right.
And then we're putting people, these people in a position where they feel awkward, you know, for no particular reason. Let's just think about the whole voting process again. I think it's crazy that in our general elections we can't vote at home. I think we should be able to vote at home or go to the polling place. Say we looked at the voting and it was actually like you would go to a polling place and you would vote on a specific day and if you wanted to vote, that's who you want. Maybe just change the whole system and have it do what it like we do our regular voting when we're not working.
So we have a one-day EA election and people go to the polling places we have set up across campus?
Yeah.
You know, several years ago, the student assembly used to have elections where the League of Women Voters got volunteers together to run mechanical polling places at various places on campus. It was extremely costly. The participation rate was much lower because people had to report to a polling place at a specific time to vote, and they would have to wait in line. I think electronic voting for the vast majority of people is a much more convenient way to do things. I think, you know, the real question here is how do we get the few people who aren't engaged in the electronic way of doing business that has become the way forward for the university, how do we get them in that system and make sure that they don't miss an opportunity to vote here if they want to vote?
It seems like most of the people who aren't electronically involved in certain departments or certain colleges. I mean, like, is there like one specific college where like nobody's really involved, or is it just like depends on the job they do?
I think it's job related. It's you know, grounds, it's maintenance, it's dining, it's housekeeping.
Yeah.
We're working on getting our data on that.
Yeah. It'd almost be easier if it was like all concentrated in one college, because then we could just go to the college instead of the polling place, you know, but if not.
You know, I think another thing that we had talked about was that it seemed like because Tanya and Leslie had gone out to individual colleges before, and I remember
Leslie Meyerhoff. Okay. Remember we did the time clock meetings last year? Anybody remembers that? We went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you had said that you had a sense that employees might have been more receptive to those outreach efforts if they had been coming from people that they were closer to, like their immediate supervisors and their immediate colleagues, and that perhaps targeting recruitment efforts for candidates as well as voters in those populations mm-hmm. might another way to get more participation from those groups.
Yeah, so one of the things that we were talking about in that meeting is trying to get representation from the different union affiliations on campus. Not necessarily a union seat, but a seat for someone who can represent that population on campus on issues that are outside of what their union would negotiate for them. I think that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So we struggle with the same thing with paw print. Paw print, we've got building care, which is the facility side of things, includes both the residential, all the facilities, housing folks now, custodial staff. And we just send like 400 copies of paw print to Maple Avenue. Rob Osborne has a system in place. It goes out to take the copy. End of story. Everybody's happy. Dying is at present still a hit and miss in that we send out files to different dining places and different places where we think people might be gathering. And one of these days I'll tour around campus and try to get a better handle on it, but right now it's like, who knows? I've tried working with Gail and with Karen Brown in terms of trying to get a handle on this population. And I haven't, it's not for lack of their cooperation, it's just it's a much more scattered population of five people here, two people here, and blah, blah, blah. Or people in places like Trillium who the last, you know, they're not going to go straight out to the front door of Trillium to pick up the paw prints during their lunch break. They're going to go to their lunch break. But Gail does have the newsletter she hands out, Cornell Dining Rocks, that comes out, I don't know, quarterly. That might be one way of at least getting word out about the election to that group in a way that they might hear. And it may be that there would be a way of tapping into whatever mailing system that they use. I would think Karen Brown might have a handle on that for how to reach that population. But I think you might be able to work the current system if you decided to do a targeted paper ballot. Or even just the targeted, we're going to have a vote and this is where your kiosks are going to be and go online. Whichever way, I think there may be a way of reaching the population, but it would mean working with a bunch of folks.
So I'm just curious to kind of explore on the idea that Gary put out there about polling place. What if we were to have a hybrid and have, you know, an open period of being able to go to any computer anywhere and vote like we traditionally do, but then on one day, we have three or four different polling places in areas that don't typically use computers. Maybe we have someone in Humphreys, you know, in a couple of dining halls, and we do something like that and see how many people we actually get who will come and vote. I mean, it would be a little bit of work on our part, but then we can get maybe gauge how that works.
Yeah,
like we would have a laptop, or we would maybe have time to vote for your EA representative, and
well,
they could come.
They vote,
it wouldn't be a paper. It wouldn't be a paper. It would be electronic. Electronic.
And if they
could, or we could sit there and say, "Oh, you don't have your Net ID activated," and we have that web page open up too. They activate their Net ID, and then they vote. So it kills two birds with one stone.
Visibility for us. I mean, even if we have a stand in the arts plot or whatever, the ag plot on a nice day, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A huge sign that says, like, "Emily, come vote. Free something."
Free time.
Yeah. And you know, it's like, the visibility is awesome for us.
Ravon, you had something?
Yeah, I was wondering if we can hand over paper ballots to, like, supervisors of the identified 200-plus inactive Net ID employees. I don't know if we can actually hand over paper ballots to supervisors. And that way we might be able to reach the targeted population. Just target the supervisors and hand over the number of paper ballots.
Well, we're not talking about paper balloting. We're talking about outreach efforts to enable people to vote electronically.
No,
but
we are talking about paper balloting.
Well, I think everything is on the table.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, the sense I got from Peggy at that meeting, and
Peggy is not my supervisor.
I guess the question is, does Peggy decide what the EA does, or does the EA decide what the EA does?
Well, our office has always been, you know, asked to administer the election.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're administering a process, I think, you know, what we're comfortable supporting is kind of significant. And what Peggy said at that meeting, what I think I have said several times, is that offering paper ballots, in addition to generating a bunch of extra steps and considerations, also works against the university initiative of getting away from using paper, and it does nothing to help these employees get other essential services that they need to have active amenities for. And, you know, I think there would be some merit to explain whether there should be a policy that says employees need to have active net IDs and the supervisor needs to help them with that. The fact is, people need to have active net IDs. They need it for essential information.
Right, but, right, and that's, and yes, I think that we can certainly partner to do that, but until there is a university policy saying everyone must have a net active net ID, then we need to make some sort of, I mean, even with benefits, you get a postcard at home that says it's time to do something with your benefits, and I'm sure that if someone walks into the benefits office and said, I don't have a computer, I don't have computer access, there's going to be some paper way for them to get benefits.
But they also would be willing to sit down with you because they have the kiosk off the side,
right,
side to show you. So
if somebody walks into our office and says, I need to vote, we're going to give them the phone number for CIP and sit them down at a computer. We're not going to lay out a paper ballot for them.
Right. Well, that's why I was saying to tie on to Gary's idea there is to have a polling place with a computer that we could sit them down and they can have access to that.
And I think that's a great idea. But I think that's very different from handing out paper ballots at the workplace. That there would be a separate paper ballot processing process, and you know, having volunteers do an electronic polling place.
Mm-hmm.
Goes along with electronic voting, goes along with active NIDs. Having paper ballots did not. And that's the line that I'm drawing there.
Okay.
But it's almost like you need the two steps. In other words, you need the one step of the postcard, that's the paper that goes out through whatever ways we can,
mm-hmm,
to reach the people who aren't on the computer. And that tells them that such and such a date is going to be, there's going to be, you know, the EA will be holding the kiosk thing, and then that day is when you sit down with somebody walking through. Because for myself, anytime anybody sat me down and walked me through the process is when I've actually then gotten over that hurdle of even approaching it. So I do think it's a great visibility for the EA, but it is also a heck of a lot of work.
I mean, I'm not a friend of the Sustainable Campus Committee. We talk about the paperless initiatives all the time. I'm not going to sacrifice empathy, though, for the sake of something that communications wants to do. And then I think they had nothing to do with us. Should we have some interest in it? Yeah. The logistics of it, it's not our job. We need to get something in the administrative assistant's hands, who works in Spencer, who has an unemployed husband, who's scared for her job because she's seen a ton of her colleagues lose their job, and make it easy for this person to vote for somebody, not put them in an awkward position or make them have to work for it. So if it's a little extra work for somebody, it's a little extra money, I don't really care.
I mean, well, I haven't heard you talk about it, but I think, I don't think we can discount the 500 people that filled out paper employee engagement. And I don't think we should pull them and say, and even if they activate their ID, doesn't mean they're going to use it.
That's right.
They may activate it that day at the polling place, mm-hmm, and they go because you're standing there and you're helping them, and that's as far as it goes. I don't know.
So next week, Bridget and I have our meeting with Mary, so we can talk with her more about this and kind of get her sense of what she thinks too. Ari, it would be really great to know, if we did end up going with paper ballots, what the cost would be if we needed to hire someone to input them. If that's an obstacle, you know, we needed to hire someone to do something like that.
Well,
kind of thing.
I guess I don't feel like that option is really there anymore. I thought that was what we conveyed at our last meeting, that offering a separate paper ballot was not going to be an option anymore, because everybody can activate their NetID and they can vote with a computer and they can do it at least as easily as they can with paper. So, you know, I don't think that is really an option at this point.
I think if President Scorton felt that way, then we would have never sent a paper ballot for the engagement survey. We would have said, too bad. If you don't want to activate your NetID, we don't care. Because that's, I mean, they sent out a paper ballot because, a paper survey, because they wanted to make sure that they reached every component of campus.
I also think that's not something that, I think the nature of that survey was quite different from an election, and I think the expectations around that are different too. They wanted bent over backwards to make sure that people who weren't inclined to use computers still had their sentiments captured in that survey.
Right, and that's what we're
exactly. I think we should have a vote on this.
Well, unfortunately, we can't vote because we do not have enough people here today to vote.
But didn't we vote on this?
We informally did a straw poll because we did not have.
Okay. We didn't have enough people?
Okay. Not at the retreat, no.
Oh, no, but at the meeting, that President Scorton and Mary were at. Did we do a vote?
I don't remember. I have to go and look.
Maybe that was a survey, not the meeting.
I think it was the
survey.
I think it was the, okay, so here. We voted to have the employee assembly election and the employee elected trustee on the same ballot. The only question remaining was whether or not to do paper ballots. There was brief discussion. T. Grove suggested, and it was agreed by the members, to discuss further at the retreat. Which we did discuss further at the retreat.
How many people do we need to vote?
Two-thirds? So let's see. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 here out of our 1, 2. Out of our 16. So we're 7 down, so we're not two-thirds. If I'm doing my math right.
That sounds right.
Yes.
Remind me, what were the costs? Where are we looking at for sending out a paper ballot and then processing? I mean, just generally. I'm getting to a little further question here.
So, okay. Well, you looked in. Well,
there's two different things. The $1,500 was for the search, for the whole processing of the survey and sending out the ballot. The only cost would be whatever the mailbox charged for sending out mailing, however, 300 pieces of mail. It's not going to be that much.
I don't know if this is feasible, but I just maybe throw it out there and I can do some research on this. Is where I used to work in K-12, we had the superintendent had a voice poll system. It was by telephone, and you could call in and follow prompts on your computer or on the phone to answer survey questions. It could also probably be used for an election. Don't know if there is a service out there that, you know, could be leased or, you know, something like that, you know. And then, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there.
I think, you know, probably the computer, that's a really good idea, but I mean, we're probably going to get the time.
And what time, when is the election? April? March?
April.
Okay.
Can we combine our two bills with the offer?
It's a
separate issue.
Because you have to, essentially, you only have one vote, Les only has one vote. If you put them in the pocket, you could conceivably have as many votes as there are pockets.
Not if it goes by that ID. You have to put down your net ID and send their vote. And it's recorded once. No.
Yeah, I would, if they even know what their net ID is.
Or
it is, we don't have one.
Everybody has a net ID.
Everyone has
right.
I think it would be better for visibility's sake to do it as a separate item.
So Beth, what we're talking about is the election ballot, essentially, and there's a real push to go just electronic, no paper, but then there's also concern for those who haven't activated any IDs or don't get on a computer. So we're kind of...
I just want to clarify, it's not just a push. We've been all electronic since last year. Last year we did not do a paper ballot.
But didn't we give an option for paper ballot?
No.
We didn't in the paw print do
a last year that we had
we pushed for the
last year that we had a paper option was 2 years ago when we had one person turn in a paper ballot. And that was an option, once again, we didn't have any distribution there. We had a PDF on the web, and we, in our communication, said, you know, you can call us if you want us to send a paper ballot. And Thomas, we don't remember if that person downloaded and printed or if we sent them a ballot, but one person.
Yeah, I mean, I just think we're finishing up a highly successful survey. It's set to people, we want to know what you think. And this is a great thing for the EA to do. And I think to follow it up with a proactive, collaborative way to get their opinion as members, we should just make it easy and transparent as possible. And at this point, I just think we're really over-engineering it. I think we don't have enough people to vote on it. Mary, Mary, I think, you know, if Tommy Bruce wants to come and talk to us about this, I get administrative initiatives. I live that every day, okay? But there's a right and a wrong, and there's a human in a corpus. And I just throw it across that line of life. There's people without a voice that we're representing.
Well, you know, I want to say I agree with you that there should be a very strong outreach effort to get these people in. I'm not disagreeing with you that their voices and I'm not disagreeing with you about the importance of reaching out to them. I'm disagreeing with you about this being an effective, constructive way to do that. I think if you want to reach out to these people, you need to find ways, first of all, to get them interested in running, to get them interested and engaged in the election, and sending a paper ballot to a box that, frankly, in many cases, people probably check as much as they check the email account that they never activated. Did not seem to me like a good way to pursue that, and I think it would be much more effective to focus on outreach efforts that recruit candidates in that community, who can generate excitement in that area, and to give them some written notice that motivates them to activate their net IDs.
Yeah, we're still framing this with an us versus them sort of mindset.
No, I'm not framing it that way.
How many people reach our paper ballots on a paper service? 500? Something like that. That's
going to be the limit test. But is there a difference between a survey and a voting? It sounds to me like there was some concerns that people wanted their survey on paper and didn't trust electronic.
So can we just mirror our survey as closely to the survey as possible?
Well, we're not talking about the survey. The survey is going to go out paper. So, in an effort to move us forward on to the next thing, since we can't vote, to not keep talking about it, I'll contact Mary in advance of our meeting, and I'll also contact Tommy Bruce and see if I can get any opinion from either of them that would help us in either going just, you know, sending for the communication out to try and get people to activate our polling place thing or doing a paper ballot. Beth?
I know you want to move on, but I just want to throw out one thinking thing. Similar to what we're doing in the wellness program around the idea of inclusion, and it's just a posing a question, and you can make an analogy. But if you send out a flyer, and on the bottom it says, if you need disability accommodations, contact us. Ask yourself, is that being inclusive, or is that separating people out and making them take an extra step, that adds another barrier to whether or not they participate. And then compare that to what we're trying to do with the election. I don't know what the answer is, but if we want to promote inclusion, which is what the university is all about, maybe there's some clever way we can come up with it.
And one of the other things that we put on the table was, you know, Gary had offered a suggestion of having a polling day and having polling places. So we thought perhaps we could go and sit with a computer in areas of campus that traditionally have people who aren't using computers and offer them the option to come and sit and vote or activate their NetID and vote.
There's a solution.
Can I just really quickly add, I think that Ari brings up some really good points about maybe centering one of our efforts around, you know, getting awareness out there and recruiting people to help with that, and in, particularly in these areas where we feel that we're not getting our voice heard. And I think that that was very well said by Ari, and I think that's something that we really need to push forward with.
Okay, so if anybody has anything else that they want me to add in the email, send it to me. But they have the easy option. Retreat recap, is there anyone who wasn't at the retreat here? You weren't at the retreat. Oh. I'm like, is there anyone who wasn't? So we had a great retreat. Talking with Claudia Wheatley was, I think, really valuable and caused a lot of discussion. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was brought up is that perhaps we might want to have an EA spokesperson. So if someone came to the EA meeting and had questions and they called any of the EA members, they could say, oh, you need to talk to the spokesperson. So that is something that Claudia suggested. David had made a nice suggestion about trying to be open to the Cornell Daily Sun and maybe sending them, you remember you talked about the sending them an agenda at the beginning of the year. We don't really have an agenda, but maybe to send them, you know, an email, you know, welcome back to campus, you know, the EA meets on these days, you're welcome to join our meetings, that sort of thing, so that they know that they are welcome. And in a way of introducing ourselves to them. And also, you know, a reminder of, you know, someone from the Sun or anywhere else, any guests are here, that we would make sure to have them introduce themselves so we know who they are and where they're from. And then Claudia said another good thing to do would be to, you know, follow up after the meeting with them, say, did you get everything you needed? So that we're kind of closing the circle with them. So that was Claudia. Then we had a presentation from the Notice and Respond folks who talked about the new peer-to-peer program, which I think is really great, and they're starting to launch that now. Their regular Notice and Respond program has reached a lot of faculty and staff across campus, which has been really nice. One of the things that they're hoping to do next is sort of a staff-to-staff peer-to-peer kind of Notice and Respond program. They said it's quite expensive to build something like that. It's like $25,000. So they're kind of early on in that, but it may be something for the EA to think about how we can contribute or participate in that. You know, is that something that we think would be really helpful, particularly for staff who's feeling really stressed right now and being able to know about options available to them and having some sort of training about how to talk to your coworkers about, you know, do you seem stressed or you seem anxious or whatever. You know, maybe there's some sort of EA resolution around that. So,
yeah. I mean, maybe if you're able to post together a breakfast with a trustee, that would be worth mentioning. Mm-hmm. You know, we really think it's a resource that would help staff.
Mm-hmm. And so I think we do the breakfast in June. In March.
When they come, their next, yeah, their next campus visit.
And so we're working on that.
So yeah, sort of bring that up, but I don't know if anyone else has any thoughts, thinks that would be a good thing to kind of think about, or maybe
question
about the
Something about the peer to peer.
Do we think that the employee assembly should, you know, do some sort of resolution or recommendation in support of a peer to peer notice and respond program for staff? That was my question, Leslie.
Okay. I have
no okay.
feeling about it either way.
All right, we're all talked out today. And then what else did we talk about at the retreat? We talked about the logo, and which we'll get to, and the survey, which we already got to. So I think that was the most. And we talked about bringing in Q and Q Wang and Ted Dogs to come and talk to us about kind of what's going on in their area. We traditionally meet with Mary, and they would be two other VPs who we thought would be aligned with things that staff deal with to kind of come in and talk with us. So that was the retreat, unless anybody else can remember anything that I'm not thinking about.
Yeah, the donuts were good.
And a really nice room.
Yeah,
yeah, we will be having game meetings in, right?
Yeah, one date.
I thought only UA had only one date. Never mind. Yeah. I got that backwards. Sorry.
That really is nice. That room was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And one of the few free rooms on campus.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So just moving on quickly, report from the chair. We had our meeting with Mary. We talked about, I got a bunch of questions for the from Leslie's EA meetings that went out to that people submitted for the president that really weren't questions for the president. So Mary's given me kind of the appropriate person to send them to, so I'll forward them along, and then hopefully we'll get some nice answers back that we can put in the next EAE news. We also talked about an idea that David had brought up. So you wanna throw out your idea there about the HR note?
Yeah, I can't remember if you ever have given some kind of award or recognition to the HR department, because a few weeks ago, few people from my area were at their front desk, and it just hit me that, they're probably screamed at more than any other department, because whenever there's an issue with your paycheck or your benefits, or you want to know about the retirement system, I mean, they're just as
well. Other than the housing and dining office, let me just note.
Yeah. They have all this information for us, and HR literally, in some way, they help all of us, whether it's just giving your paycheck every week or making sure your benefits are right. I mean, they do a lot for everybody. And I don't know if I've ever
recognized.
Yeah, it'd be a really big lunch. Here's your slice of half a slice of pizza.
You could always recommend it next year with the president, right?
Yeah.
So you're away. I mean, yeah, that's fun. There's so much stuff that people don't even know about. So last year, it's in my record, cancer last year, and so there's a cancer support listserv that goes out with talk to that. It's been coordinated with HR, which is wonderful. So most people never access that, but it's sitting there. And there's what other listservs are there? There's
there's a whole work family unit out of HR.
Yeah.
And so there's, elder care, breastfeeding, adoption,
kids with disabilities.
Yeah. And so it's very, you're right, it's very easy to take it for granted, because I don't know if any of you have ever worked in special HR stuff. I have. And it's it's a world of difference. Mm-hmm.
Can we almost advertise all of their services too, all these listeners in one of our newsletters or something, so that people are more aware of services that are out there for us?
Mm-hmm. We could, and I think we can encourage people to sign up for the Work Life Digest, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And encourage people to sign up for that listserv, which comes out weekly.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't go to everybody automatically.
Right.
My understanding is that it goes to the HR
representatives in each department, and they're supposed to follow
that's how we get ours.
And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. Yeah. And sometimes it is, and sometimes only for certain people in the department, maybe not the faculty. It has hazards.
You know what might be nice is sometime when Mary and David were just regularly one of our meetings, and we took an HR component and took like 5 minutes at that meeting, and the person came from whatever HR component was there, the president was there. We're just like, you know, we do this once a year specifically for HR, and then they get a little nice, you know, honor. Mary's there,
yeah.
It's really low key, but it's like, you know, it's kind of like built in and institutionalized. It would be nice for the person, but like the scorekeeper as well, whoever that person was.
Just to clarify, this came up with Mary, and this is more about what I think you're talking about. There's a good central HR with all the different components like compensation and family, et cetera. But then out in the world, there are all the unit HR people who have borne the brunt of all the decisions that have been made. And so they're there making all the hard, well, not making the decisions, but doing whatever that decision is. Mm-hmm. And talking to all the employees one-on-one, like the HR people in your unit.
I don't even know who my HR person is in my local college.
There's an HR person in your local college.
I think it's on the web. It's been a while since I've been in HR, but I think if you go under about us, there's OHR and there's the college unit reps. I'm not quite sure how, but I think there is a listing there.
Sorry. Anyway, when we met with Mary, she mentioned there are these two factions, and it's unclear to anyone who's not involved with HR how it works, because it's convoluted. It's like everything else.
Yeah.
It's centralized, but it's decentralized.
What kind of trustee are you?
We have to include that because these are the same question for the other people in the field.
They
have
just as hard doing this.
Okay.
But she was all over it.
Yeah, she thought it was a great idea.
Okay.
Well, good job, David.
I'll come up with something.
The other thing that we talked about a little bit with Mary that she brought to our attention is that Ann Snell has been working on a career item. So essentially, when people come into Cornell, you could almost see a career path from when you start, and there's different tracks, is how I understand it. So if you say you want to be a manager and you start here, these are kind of the different types of jobs and things that you should do in order to move up in the ranks so that there's some sort of succession planning and, a defined future for individuals coming in. But if you don't want to be a manager, you go on this track. Or if you want to do IT, you go on this track kind of thing. So she encouraged us to, Beth and Bridget and I, to meet with Ann Snell and get some more information. So we're going to set up and do that.
And just to clarify, Ann Snell works for Central HR in the compensation section. And the management path is clearly defined. Like if you wanted to move up and you wanted to supervise people, it's obvious that there's a path. But if you don't want to supervise people, let's say you're really good at what you do, but want to get better at that, let's say it's CIT, it's computer work. That's not as clearly defined, and so that's what she's working on, other tracks that aren't the management tracks.
What I like to see, though, is ways for them to, I know there's some classes, but they usually cost money. And, for example, I'm a person who wants to engage with somebody who supervises employees. But I'm stuck. I'm here, and I can't make the jump into supervising an employee. But there's just classes, there's classes for it. But why would maybe your current employer want to pay for that? Because that's you're going to need to pay for this next step. So I think, a lot of people get stuck in that position. They talk about professional planning, but there's I don't think they help people do that. You just have to be lucky enough to get that job that allows you to make that jump.
Yeah, I think that's
so. Well, there's will they help you out with taking the class that don't cost money, or there's a mentor, you know, we've talked about mentoring before. But I do really feel like there's going to probably be a lot of people, you know, leaving.
I think this is a place where the EA can have an impact, because it's catch a catch can. Those supervisors are dialed in to the idea that you don't own them. They don't own their employees. Their employees are here at Cornell to grow, hopefully in Cornell, but they don't. And, you know, you shouldn't hold them back. And there are employees who've gone through the supervisor training program, which they don't know if they have the fee or not. And there are future supervisors who are going through the supervisor, new supervisor program, who don't yet have a job yet, but if they're preparing for it. I just don't know if it has a fee. But they're learning the Cornell way.
Right.
That I've been established for them.
Yeah.
So I think
that's a big problem with administrative assistants, because I've talked to several of them, especially on the Cal side, that are frustrated and don't know where else they can go.
Right, what's their next step?
Yes. And might be able to really...
Right, so Mary suggested that at least the three of us start with Anne, hear what she has to say, and then maybe think about bringing her into the full EA to have her talk if we think that she would be beneficial to talk with us, which it sounds like it may be, and it is something that the EA can really latch on to and maybe make a difference with.
Right, and at some point, you know, once they have it involved, then you need to communicate it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anybody... If you go on the My Cornell page and you go under your employee stuff now, there is a whole component there under where it says jobs for Cornell. There's a component that says career something.
I can't remember. Cornell careers.
Cornell careers, something like that. You click on it and there's all kinds of information on different things, which I don't think was there recently. I mean, I've just noticed it in the past couple weeks.
Now, the Facebook component of that is now on Crawford down at the bottom of the right-hand corner. You click on that and it gives you the Facebook thing with people talking about the different jobs and stuff.
So that's something to just take a look at if you have an interest. But that's what we talked about with Mary, and as I said, we're meeting with her again next week, so if anybody has anything that they want us to talk with her about, please share that with me. Just a quick update, I had the Retirement Plan Oversight Committee meeting, which is with the new ERISA laws. Basically, the Cornell has to be fiscally responsible for giving you good choices for retirement. So we are in the process of hiring a consulting company that will look at all of our retirement options and kind of, so the way that we do our retirement will change a little bit, hopefully very seamlessly, but that committee's meeting and working on that, so a lot of it is over my head. We talk about a lot of investment stuff that I do. Mary. So, but they're looking at funds, and they're looking still at, you know, Tiocraft and Fidelity, but just being able to say, you know, having kind of a tiered structure. So if you say, I don't know anything about investments, I don't want to know anything about investments, but I'm this age, so my money should be dispersed this way, so I take option A, and you're this age, so you pick option B, and they just set it for you, just put it in, and they manage it all.
Beautiful.
So. But if you really are into investments and you don't want anybody picking them for you, there'll be other options, and you could do your own thing. So that's our POC. There's nothing on old business, so new business, so logo.
So can we vote on this? Can we have a form? Vote on the form?
We can't vote on it, but we can at least look at the final. We can vote electronically because it's not a resolution or anything like that. We'll probably vote electronically. Does anybody have any thoughts on the new updated amended logos? Oh my God.
Did people send them?
You and Nancy sent me votes. I'm not a voting member, so I just said, hey. I'm not a voting member either, but they didn't stop me.
Well, so.
Well, I'll just take both vote and then I'll ask the other people for their input, I guess. touch with.
Right.
Unless
we
want to wait
for
the next meeting.
I think it would be good for us to hear
and
touch with people
who are sick. Leslie, just out of curiosity, did you hear back from Clive?
Yes, he said that I am correct in saying that we no longer are using the two-line signature lockup. We are only using Cornell University. We are not having secondary lines.
Then you need to explain what the question is.
Yeah, so it's no longer...
The question came up on if we can use our own logo or if we have to use the Cornell, official Cornell logo.
We
are there without...
Well, you have to use the Cornell logo, but we no longer are using this, you know, the two-line signature.
Right.
So we're not supposed to be using that anymore. Okay. So we are finding a secondary logo, one who follows guidelines for secondary logos.
So this is what our logo would look like, but it would have to say Cornell University somewhere. We could just use it.
You would just use it.
Okay.
But like if you were printing it in a brochure, it's going to be on the first page. If it was on your website, it has to be below the Cornell University.
So if we did another EA brochure, it would have the Cornell University logo, and this could be below it.
Or we have to even print, it would have to be on a secondary page.
Okay. Beth's going to hang them up.
I'm looking for a piece of tape.
Oh.
Not the old tape.
Oh, of course, Amy in her magic bag would have tape.
Oh, she does.
Because you don't have to close part of our head, and then you can see it in the distance if it gives you another impression.
Totally changes it.
You can't trust me that right. I'm going to set that machine.
So, Bob?
M. I vote for M. As in me.
Well, if I'm looking at it from 30 feet away.
L.
L.
M. L.
That says a lot.
We got a lot of L's going here.
That says a lot.
No elaboration about why?
About why they like... This is Leslie's thing here. Alright, why? Why do you like which one?
Yeah, why do you like L?
Well, when we talked about it at the retreat, somebody brought up the concept of the circle.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I thought they were kind of brilliant. I'm thinking about...
And you were kicking yourself because you didn't think of it?
Yeah, I was feeling it.
My only reason I don't like L as well, so I just like them to go with my t-shirt and the whole thing, is that the employee assembly, the words are really don't pop out.
That would be my... That's why
like
I like
that. Like, for example, M, not or...
By using this for an example in terms of the thing that don't jump out, what is that?
I like L, and I like N. I like L for the same reasons that you mentioned. I like N because it makes me compact.
N?
Yeah.
You know, it feels to me less compact than, for example, like O. O is less and more compact.
That's true.
Yeah. I like N because you can see the tower and kind of everything.
Other thoughts?
So does anybody like K?
I like K.
I like K. If I read it from here, I can read it from here.
You mean the kind of
well, it's just nobody mentioned K, so I thought maybe we could peel them off when it's time, but I guess it didn't work.
I like K because the employee assembly words are big.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can just change the font. That's definitely correct.
Mm-hmm.
And?
Yeah, I
like
M.
How about M? Anybody like M?
I do.
Bridget does. I do. No, I don't. I'm so confused. We should not put this on paper.
We
put it on.
Electronic.
I do like Al very much. I just don't like the fact that you can't, the employee assembly doesn't check out
right
as clearly.
On what one?
On Al.
Al.
Yeah, did you
what about making employee assembly bigger? Can you do
that? Making the E and the A bigger.
Well, you already have an
A
and A right underneath it.
I do, however, like the part. Go ahead. The part about L that I do like is that the active voice is bigger, and so that's easier to read.
It's a little light. What if you just flip flop them and put employee assembly on the bottom half? Do you think that's any better?
Oh wait, I'm coming.
So you
just
say that the Cornell logo and
the
EA logo
do
not appear on the same page, right?
On the first page.
If it's a print page of a print publication, I believe that is correct.
This doesn't seem to make too much sense, though, to me.
Well,
if it's a... Unless you can find out the rules. Unless you can find out the rules, you first have to pick one.
The logo guidelines are more for public facing stuff, I think. But if you look around, there are tons of departments that have been violating the logo guidelines for years and will continue to do so. So unless they start enforcing some of their guidelines, I mean, I think it's red square, but it's
all I know is when I mention it to the logo police, the website seems to change within a few weeks. So
they're paying
attention and they do. Sorry, I call them the logo police. That was.
All right. So, folks, we have 4 minutes left.
And nobody says wrong. We need a different draft so we can work with what we have.
I think it's more what we have.
Okay. So we vote, and then I'll call the other people.
Yeah.
And we go with whatever we decided on.
Yep.
Yes. Even though I really didn't have, like, hours.
Don't be
different. I can deal with rejection.
Hey, I like K.
I'm not stubborn about it.
No, I could offer it as another option because we have this cool voting software that we don't use very much. But if people wanted to rank their choices, it like figures out what pulling everybody's preference.
There we go.
Is the compromise choice, but
is that hard to do?
No, I would just need to get ballots from everybody where they break down in order what your preference is, and then
it's not electronic.
It tabulates electronically, but the balloting would be.
So it could be paper.
It could be email, but since we have folks here, we could have.
I'm ready. Okay, 2 minutes, people.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, we can do it and
hand
them in him and
pull
the names
right
on paper, right?
Sure,
right
on the paper.
One, two, three.
Rank all.
Four.
Yeah.
Everybody in the
PLS.
Can another
voting
member give an opinion?
Yes. Yes, you vote. Go ahead. Vote. Everybody vote.
It does have a waiting feature.
Can I have an. Just put my name on
here
and write 1, 2, 3.
I'm not putting my name on it. I don't want anybody to know.
Putting that idea.
You can vote.
And then if we could just figure out a way to get the remaining preferences into our office.
There's 5 on here
as well. There's 5?
Yeah.
Oh, did it again.
There.
So they're all
So, I got another idea that we should just do. In an effort to get rid of all this paper, I think we should have to buy iPads for the entire EA.
I agree.
So that we are too sustainable.
I think it's the entire EA
bought
iPads for all the people who don't have access to computers. It's all too complicated. They're utility, popularity, and democracy.
The only people who haven't activated their net ID. Make the activate one.
Right, you want me to send an email out
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, wait. Oh, no. You didn't write yours?
No. I don't know. Are you going to write yours?
Put yours down
there. David and I combine our votes on the same page.
Sure, whatever.
That might be confusing.
Two.
All right. So we did not get to our last two items, but we ran out of time. We'll get to those next week. Next 15, whatever.
I move that we adjourn.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.